Our scriptural affirmation today comes from the 19th chapter of Job, starting at the 19th verse. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me.
Why do you persecute me against God, and are not satisfied with my flesh?
Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Be ye afraid for the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword.
That ye may know there is a judgment.
Oh, Father, we thank you. You've been so very good to us, and we are grateful. You are perfect in all of your ways, and we are glad that you are here this day. Have your way. Speak to us from your word. Draw us closer to you. Put your loving arms around us and cuddle us so that we might continue to acknowledge the wonder and amazing way that you love us. We are thankful for this day. Great is the Lord. Thank you, Father, for so much. Have your way in this place this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glad that it's love without end. I'm so glad that he loved me, that before the foundation of the world, he chose me. Before the foundation of the world, he reached out and said, that one is mine, and I choose to love him. I choose to love him, not because of any merit in him, although I will find some ways for him to show merit. It's not because he's so smart, although there will be times he will seem brilliant. It's not because he's so good, although he will show my goodness to the world. It's not any of that. It's because I choose to love him, and I will go to great extremes to make sure that he has the ability to stand before me. I will allow my son, the only begotten son, Jesus, the Savior, I will allow him to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, that will make him the proper sacrifice, a proper sacrifice to pay for the sins of my children, to pay for all of those sins. And I will allow my only begotten son to pay with his blood. He will die and be buried. And the third day he's going to rise again, because I have a love without end. Amen. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Happy Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Steve was right. We talk about and think about Father's Day and Mother's Day in different ways. You know, Mother's Day is, Oh, sweet mother, let's just have chocolate and just, oh, she's so good to us and she's done so many things for us. It just makes us. Fathers, well, my old man is a rolling stone. But he tried, I guess. But you know, it's really interesting. There's a fascinating thing that we need to recognize. And I'm looking at this scripture today. You know, we preach to the Bible, and we don't necessarily let the scripture, the date on the calendar, dictate the scripture that we choose. But it's interesting how well it works together. It's interesting how well God sews all this together. And I'm going to start, instead of starting at the 19th verse, I'm going to go back and start at verse 1. So it would be great if we could just go back to verse 1 here in the 19th chapter. Verse 1 in the 19th chapter. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" Now you got to understand what's going on here. His three friends had come to sit with him and mourn with him, and he had a lot to mourn. He had lost all of his goods. He had lost all of his sheep. He had lost all of his cattle. But worse yet, he had lost all of his children. This was a father bereft of his children. He was hurting. He was broken. He was a mess. And after he made some comments, his friends piped up and said, "You know, don't you understand? It's because you are a great sinner that these things are happening to you. Repent. Change your ways and things will be better. If you will just get it together, if you have just done the right thing, you wouldn't be in this position. The only reason you're in this position is because of the things that you have done." And Job says, "No, that's not true of me. I am not going to sit here and lie. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. No, I didn't do this stuff. As far as I knew to do, I did." And I think fathers are like that a little bit today. You know, this fathering thing is challenging. You know that it's challenging because you were once kids. And you were challenging. You are challenging. And so this being a father thing is everything. It seems like God and the devil had a conversation, and God let the devil loose to mess with you, to probe for any weakness in you, to probe for anything that you might do wrong, to probe, maybe I can make him this, or I can make him that, maybe I can make him fall this way, maybe I can make people think of him as this, and you know what, if he will do that, he'll just curse you to your face. That's what the devil's telling God, and God's saying, no, this one I've called, he's mine. In the end, he's going to do the right thing. It feels like that's how the position that fathers have been put in today. It's tough being a father. It's tough doing the right thing. There are so many things tugging at your heart. There are so many things that would have you do wrong. There are so many things that would have you mess up. And then there are children. Wow. All right, so he's talking to his friends. Job says, how long will you vex my soul? Why are you talking to me like this? This is what we talk, how we talk about fathers all the time. Do we ever say, you know, fathers are really, really great in this world today? No, we talk about how that at least 40% of children don't have their biological father in a house, and how that a child that doesn't have their biological father in the house is more likely to do drugs, more likely to have sexual misadventures, more likely to not be able to make it in this world. So for all of those fathers, all of those men, no matter what the situation that led them to that place that they're in, they have the weight of that on them. It talks about so often how fathers have such a hard time getting it together, and how we don't have enough manly men. Of course, when we try to be manly men, people say we should be softer. And when we're softer, they say we're effeminate. And there's so many kinds of challenges and problems, and men are sitting there trying to figure it all out and put food on the table at the same time. It's crazy. The weight of the world, everything that's wrong, we put on some man. And that's how Job's feeling. His friends, the people that should love him, come along. How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Can't you see how bad off I am? These 10 times you have reproached me, and you're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. You're not ashamed that you're treating the one who loves you and cares for you and provides for you. You're doing this. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves, verse 5, if ye, indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, I know what I've done. Now, know now that God hath overthrown me. It's God that's allowed me to be put in this position. Don't you see that? Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. He's the one that's got me all hemmed in. Behold, I cry out of wrong, or cry out of violence, or cry out of frustration. I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I've been praying, and I don't, you're not hearing me. I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. God not delivering me, it seems. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. It's crazy out here, and I don't know what to do next. He has stripped me of my glory. I'm not held in high esteem. He hath taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I'm gone. Mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. It's like he's mad at me. He counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me. My friends even think I'm the problem, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolks have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. We were close, and they've forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called for my servant, and he gave me no answer. The ones who are supposed to be serving me, they're just impudent. They won't help me. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. She doesn't even like to be around me. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body, Yes. Young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. So this is where we wanted to start. All my friends, they didn't respect me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. I'm just barely getting by. You ever feel like you're just barely getting by? You ever feel like, okay, I made it through another day, but I'm just barely getting by. I made it by the skin of my teeth. And then he says to his friend, and I think men may be saying this to society. Instead of beating up on us, instead of crushing us, instead of accusing us of every wrong, have pity on me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. You see, I believe in a sovereign God. And if I'm in this mess, even if it's my fault, even if I somehow didn't measure up, I need you to have pity on me. Pray for me. Think of me. I know how bad I am. I know what a mess I am. And if I don't know, God will show me. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon ye, O ye my friends, for the hand of God have touched me. Why do you persecute me as God? You're acting like a little God. Why are you persecuting me? Are you not satisfied with my flesh? You don't like who I am? Is that what it is? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. I want this kept for posterity's sake. I want this kept. I'm going to tell you the truth. I wish my words that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Because I know something. I know something that will keep me even in the midst of this pain and hurt. I know something. I know something that I wish other people knew too. I know something. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know Jesus is coming back. I know my God is going to show himself. I know that I will be justified in due time because my God will stand upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, I may not make it out alive. You may not see me in glory alive. I may be a mess on this side right now. I know me. I get it. I may not be able to come back from this. I may never be able to show you anything. But I'll tell you this. After my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. You can't stop that. No circumstance can prevent that. Nothing can keep me from my God. Whom I shall see for myself. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to see him for myself. It won't be words in a book. It won't be a feeling in my heart. It will be my eyes seeing him for myself. I will be able to perceive him. And mine eyes shall behold and not another. No, you're not going to have to tell me about him. Be quiet, I want to hear him for myself. Not another, though my reins be consumed within me, I may be destroyed, but I will be with him. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? You know, maybe we ought to just lay off fathers. Maybe we ought to hold them in high esteem, not because they've been so good, not because they've been so right, but because they're so chosen, because they are God's. They have been chosen by God to be the ones that God passed through to give me life. We are blessed people. We had to have a daddy. And we ought to be thankful that we had one, because without him, we would not exist. Look, humans haven't always been good or godly or righteous or any of those things. But your Father in heaven knew that. He knew it. And I believe that all things work together for the good of those who are the called. So if you are the called, you have been allowed the privilege of going through this life with this relationship so that you might be able to comfort others, that you might be able to speak into the situation and bring light, that you might be able to speak into the situation and bring health, that you might be able to speak into the situation. If you are standing here today, it's because of the grace of God. See it right. We should say, wait a minute, what are we doing persecuting our brothers? Be ye afraid of the sword, because you're messing with God's chosen. Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. You know, so many of us recognize what poor fathers we've been, what poor representative of the male situation we've been. We get it. We know that we've not been as strong as that we would have liked to have been. We know that we are not a picture sometimes worth emulating. But don't get it twisted. The world messes these father things up. And it shows us pictures that are not biblical pictures. We don't have Leave It to Beaver's dad. By the way, behind the scenes, he was a scoundrel, right? Maybe we should. I got a better one. We could all be Bill Cosby, America's dad. Oops. Maybe we could be who God has called us to be. Amen. And stop being fooled by this world. Some of us who are heartbroken over the way that we have done what we have done have children that we look at and go, wow. They're so amazing. They're so amazing. And there are men in, that we can love and help be the fathers that they should be. Just think of some of the young men that have come from this place. Steve's feeling bad about the things he's done, and he's got an Allen. Allen is a man among men. Sometimes we feel bad about what we've produced, but then we've got a Luke. He's a man among men. We have Ben, who grew up here and learned the scriptures here and worked here and became one of us, and he's a man among men. Your influence is not done yet if you are upright and breathing. We are producing men who are called by God. So don't despair. I'm not saying that you don't have some regrets, because we've not all been what we should be all the time. But we do have this, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, our Father will allow us from this point on to be a father for the men in our lives, so that we can celebrate Father's Day with joy. I've got a small gift for you today. It's a flashlight. Why a flashlight? Some of you are saying, will you stop giving us so much junk? But I want you to remember that you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works from this point on and glorify our Father in heaven. Today, men, rededicate yourselves to God. Women, rededicate yourselves to respecting these men. Because their job is really, really, really hard. Today, won't you do it? Bow your head with me as I pray. Dear Father, we thank you that we can call you Father. We confess our sin, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we embrace the way that you've made us. And we reject the criticism that comes from the world and accept what you've made us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.